Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Again, everyone, this is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by David Ungar, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk, of course, is brought to you by the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. And Dave, let me tell you, it's a rare thing when we get 2 weeks in a row, but guess what we're not doing? Not doing 3 weeks in a row.
No?
Bowling for dollars.
Oh,
next week, bro.
All right. Well,
it's the Massachusetts State USBC tournament. So I will be bowling at States,
so you're
trying to win some
money.
You're
going to be out for the Elite Eight of the Bandwagon Nerds tournament then, huh?
I'm sad for it, but I'll be back for the Final Four. I'll be okay.
Right.
We'll probably do fine. I think I may just make this call. As most of you know, we record Hockey Talk before we record Bandwagon Nerds. And so you're catching this here. I think we should do Final Four and Superhero Champion on the same show. Because really, what do we got?
Let's do it.
Like it's
yeah,
three
we're
games.
We're gonna come back
like,
for
it's three
one
matchups,
more.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
Right. No, I don't think we need that. I think we got plenty of time, and we'll know what's up. But that is yesterday's problem. That is not today's problem. In the land of Kayfabe Tuesday. What is our problem is the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, my friend, because it has been the tale of two brackets, two halves. As I sit here and I look at the East and the West and how different these playoff series have gone so far. Now, I will say the East has played in most cases one more game than the West, but I know it's been a roller coaster ride for you, my friend. Sorry. We'll get to that. We're going to split the show in half today. We'll talk about each side of the bracket. We'll talk about what we've seen out of series, how good we feel about some of our picks, how bad we feel about some of our other picks. So far, so good for me, at least. I don't know how you're feeling, but like outside of the Colorado Winnipeg series, I'm feeling pretty good. So excited there. But yeah, it's been fun. Did you watch the overtime game last night? Did you watch the overtime Dallas and Vegas game?
I didn't. I saw parts of the game early on, and then I had to step away, and I never got back to it. But yeah, talk about a, I mean, if we're, you can start there if you want. I mean, Dallas and Vegas is as good as anything.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll let you mourn. We haven't hit our 5 minute mark because I forgot to ask you any Disney related stuff. So like, I don't know, I don't have anything there. I got some. We'll get to the playoffs in a second. How you feeling about your Commanders draft, man? Pretty solid draft. I was checking the old draft grades page because you know you got to do that, right? You guys did all right.
I was really happy they got Jaden Daniels. And I was really nervous that they were going to do something stupid. I mean, there was lots of JJ McCarthy rumors. There was Drake May rumors, and nothing wrong with those quarterbacks. But for me personally, give me an SEC quarterback who's been up against that competition and won the Heisman Trophy. And just listening to like Nick Saban talk about this kid. And I was really happy they got Jaden and that they took him. And I've already heard some of my friends who are Commanders, oh, it's going to be another RG3 thing. I was like, no, because Dan Quinn is not Mike Shanahan. They're not going to throw this guy out there with a ruptured ACL and hope for the best, you know, that sort of thing. Maybe teach him right. how to read defenses, something. So I like the pick. I know you had messaged me about the guy they got from Illinois, who you were really...
Johnny Newton.
Yeah, he got a really good grade. I think they got a really good grade on the tight end that they got from, I don't know, was it Notre Dame or someplace?
So CBS, which is just the arbitrary website that I went to, they rated the Johnny Newton from Illinois pick an A-plus pick. And the same thing with Ben Sinnott, the tight end out of K-State. Yeah. He was an A-plus pick.
Now, Newton, but what is his position? The guy?
Who's?
Johnny, what does he play?
Johnny Newton, he's an interior defensive lineman.
Okay.
Here's what's really interesting about Johnny Newton. What I find fascinating, a couple of things that kind of held him back. One, he was on a disappointing Illinois team last year. He was the most dominant defensive lineman in the Big Ten in terms of his just level of disruption. And the knocks on him have been his measurables in terms of like his length. And sort of overall size, they have him listed at a little bit undersized for what he is. He's incredibly explosive, though, and faced off against some of the best, you know, offensive lines in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And, like, you had to game plan to take him away. And my favorite example of just how disruptive he is Illinois lost to Wisconsin. Wisconsin made a late comeback to overcome. It was like a 2+ touchdown deficit. It was a game Illinois really needed. Johnny Newton got ejected in the third quarter on a bogus, terrible targeting call. Like where the problem with targeting now in football is there's no accounting for anything. If you sneeze on a quarterback, you are going to get flagged for targeting. And he busts your own line. It's a bang bang play where his momentum kind of carries him into the quarterback. The dude is not hurt. He didn't do anything to like hurt the guy, bring him down, anything like that. They flagged him for targeting. They ejected him. And after he gets ejected, Wisconsin, who couldn't run the ball for shit all game because Johnny Newton was blowing everything up. Second he was gone, they started running the football, tearing off chunks of yardage because they no longer had to account for that guy. And that's just what he was all season. When he came back from his suspension against Minnesota, he single-handedly turned the game around in the second half for Illinois. I think you guys got a terrific, terrific pick.
It was over there. It was an interesting draft the way the first round with all the offense at the beginning, like first 14 picks were offense. And then the kid from UCLA, who a lot of us,
bunch of wide receivers.
Yep. Yeah. The kid from UCLA, who a lot of us out here know very well. I forget where did he go to the Raiders? I think the Raiders took him, which is a great pick for him. But let me turn it around. How are you feeling about the Bears draft? I mean, Caleb Williams is, he looks like the real deal, I think. And you guys got a wide receiver to go with him. Adunze. So I think the Bears,
which we didn't really expect. Yeah. I mean, everybody said it at all the different draft shows that at the very least, Caleb Williams is walking into a really good situation where he has DJ Moore, Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze, which is interesting. Pete Prisco like does not like him at all, which I think is hilarious. Didn't like him, didn't like Caleb Williams. Everybody seems to think Jalen Daniels is going to be the better of the two quarterbacks. Like, he's got the higher rating and whatever. Who knows? We'll see when it all plays out.
Yeah, I mean,
but in terms of just, like, giving it people to throw to, like, they did a really good job with that. I think if Pace had done anything other than draft – sorry, not Ryan Pace, the guy we got rid of. If the Bears had done anything other than draft Caleb Williams, number one, if Ryan Poles had done anything other than draft Caleb Williams at one, we would have seen Soldier Field go up in flames. Like, you know, he jumped over the bar he needed to jump to. And then with the Odunze falling to them, they picked him as the, you know, can't miss sort of best available guy in terms of wide receivers that they wanted to pair him up. And so it'll be interesting. They only had five draft picks, but I feel like they spent a draft pick on a punter in the fourth round, which certainly a decision.
That's a choice. Yes. I was talking
it is what it is.
On the golf course yesterday, talking to a couple guys playing with a lot of conversation about the Falcon and the Michael Penix.
Yeah, they certainly made some decisions.
That was an interesting, I mean, I, as a Commanders fan and watching Kirk for all those years, I get it. Believe me, I get it. Kirk will get you to a point, but he can't get you past that. But man, you spend all that money,
$100 million.
Yeah, you spend all that money for him, and then you just go and I mean, he's got to be feeling like RG3 was in 2012. Wait, why'd you draft another quarterback? Why'd you take another quarterback?
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I think the Commanders are poised to maybe get to like 8-9 this year. That'd be a big success. The Bears should
a little bit of a
The Bears should be like 10-7 at least, you would think, with the stuff that they've done.
I mean, the NFC North's kind of wide open, and the reality is, though, is that the Bears haven't been able to get the Green Bay Packer monkey off their back. They've never been able to get over the hump. They haven't been a serious playoff contender since the Super Bowl team that relied on the back of that defense and Devin Hester, and eventually fell to the Colts. It kind of is what it is. But I can't say that I was mad about the draft. They did what we wanted them to do, and I can live with that. So, all right, let's dig into the playoffs a little bit. And like I said, we'll start in the Western Conference side of the bracket, where as it stands right now, and understanding that there are games today, but as it stands right now, every one of these series is at a 2-1 and feels interesting.
Yes.
And we'll start, like, Vegas jumped out to a 2-0 lead on Dallas.
And kudos to us for calling that.
Yes, we said Vegas was going to be a tough go. Dallas desperately needed that overtime victory. And, you know, a 20-year-old scoring that game winner to get the win in OT. Because if Dallas goes down 3-0, I mean, most teams, you go down 3-0, you're done. But you. My God,
you're not coming.
My God, we're pouring dirt on them if that win doesn't happen today. So, you said you didn't catch the game. That's too bad. Overtime hockey is the best hockey. You know this.
I mean, like you said, we got three series that are 2-1. They all feel interesting, but I'd say three of them have a certain feel to them as to like, okay, I feel the direction these are going. And the one that I think we downplayed at the beginning, thinking, oh, this is going to be a mismatch, is the one that I'm not sure about. So,
yeah, are you talking about Vancouver Nationals?
Yeah. Vancouver's lucky to be up 2-1, truly.
But that's part of the playoffs, right?
Right.
Puck luck.
They are.
Puck luck. You know, you're like, was Vancouver, I'm getting my stats confused. Did Vancouver win a game where they only shot 12 shots? Am I imagining that? What? There is a playoff game. I want to say it's this.
It might have been
this last Vancouver game where Vancouver won 2-1 and only had 12 shots on goal. It was, see if I can get the stats on.
I'm looking
the games. Yep. Shots on goal. Vancouver game 3. Vancouver shot 12 total shots, scored twice. They lost. This is what's nuts. Okay, I'm going to go through these game stats because this is amazing. Vancouver wins 2-1, 12 shots on goal to Nashville's 30. Faceoff percentage. Nashville won 63.3% of the faceoffs. Here's the difference. power play, 66.7% to 0%. Vancouver had three power plays, scored on two of them. That's how you win a game.
And they're getting except, they you know, Vancouver committed,
or sorry, whatever 66% of, yeah, it was 2 for 3 was what they had. So pretty insane. They got out hit by Nashville. They had, I will say this, they blocked 28 shots, Vancouver did. So you do that, like that's guys putting their bodies on the line. I love what they're doing right now. I love it. They're also not giving the puck away. Like that's the other big thing. If you look at this, Nashville gave away, you know, had 9 giveaways. So you had 9 giveaways, and then you add that to Vancouver's 6 takeaways. That's 15 times you lost the puck in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Compared that to 8, like that's losing hockey being played by Nashville as much as it is winning hockey being played by Vancouver right now. So I still think Vancouver's the better team. They've been the better team all season. Nashville's been a middling team, and they're doing what middling teams do. So I don't know. I'm still feeling good about my Vancouver pick. Now I could flip on a dime by the end of tonight as we record this at 8 o'clock when you can catch us on TBS.
I feel good.
I maybe turn around.
I feel good about Vancouver, but I do think it's going to be a longer series than we thought. I think we both had them like in 5 or something, and I don't think it goes that way anymore. I could see that one going 7.
Right. Here's where I'm feeling uncomfortable. It's Winnipeg and Colorado.
You picked Winnipeg, right?
Goal totals. I did. I picked Winnipeg, and it's not looking good. Because if you look at this, let's just read goal totals, shall we? For Colorado in 3 games. 6-5-6. That's 17 goals. Winnipeg, on the other hand, outside of that offensive burst where they won 7-6, 2-2.
And this is where, and you had every right to pick Winnipeg because they've got Vezina Trophy likely winner Hallerbuck, who has been terrible in this series. And I know Colorado's absolutely putting a lot of shots on goal, but you got to be better. If you're that damn good, you got to be better. He has not lived up to his end of the bargain. And, you know, I did watch most of game 2, and Winnipeg really seemed to have that under control and the series under control. And then everything fell apart in the third period. And since then, it's been all Colorado. And
right. And this is the other thing I noticed in game 1. So when I watched game 1, I think I texted you.
You did.
Because the beginning of that game,
I texted you like defense is optional here.
Well, Winnipeg just looked, let's see. I was like, I didn't really say anything. I said, so Winnipeg and Colorado is fun so far. But that first 10 minutes of the first period, Winnipeg looked shell-shocked. Like, Colorado was just flowing. They were moving. They were controlling the puck in the zone. And then it turned into this goal-scoring, like, just, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Winnipeg does not play the type of hockey you need to win in the playoffs. They really don't. And this up-tempo, let's get into a score fest, that might work for a game or two. But when it comes right down to it, you look at what Colorado's done.
It's also not going to work against Colorado.
No, and you look at what they've done since game 1. And they've and I think they fell into that racetrack mentality in game 1. Hey, we've got an offense that can keep up with anybody. Okay, maybe not. And then from game 2 and then game 3, Colorado has reverted back to like the formula they used to win the cup, playing a more defensive style. Winnipeg doesn't know. If they know how to do it, then they better figure it out and implement that quick. I don't think they know how to do it. I think Colorado wins this in 5, man. I think it's over, to be honest with you.
It's not looking good. Well, Dave's calling it over. I will never do that because I've watched enough hockey to know you never call it over.
I just think
this is the quote-unquote pinnacle game, pivotal game 4.
And we'll see.
Starts at 2:30 Eastern on Sunday.
We will see if Winnipeg learns.
By next week, we're not here. We'll
We got to see if they.
Winnipeg's got to do what they got to do.
Yeah.
Here's another series that I have not watched a second of because every single game starts at 10:30 at night on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And that is the Edmonton-Los Angeles series. Edmonton is up 2-1. They have been a scoring machine, even in their losing effort. They lost 5-4 in overtime. They just smoked Los Angeles.
They had no business pushing that game to overtime. They were getting just worked, and then they came back and pushed it. It is, to me, and I know you haven't watched a lot of it, but we have the Kings out here. It's a typical Edmonton Kings series that we've had the last 2 years, that unless LA finds a way to shut them down and really control them, it's too much offense. And it's just it's just not a good matchup for the Kings. It's like the Lakers and the Nuggets. It is very similar with the way that, you know, the Oilers and Kings match up. They don't match up well with them. They haven't.
Yeah, and it doesn't. From an outsider looking in, and again looking at like stats and stuff, just games I can't watch because it's freaking 10:30 at night. I got a job, so I can't watch them. It does look like Edmonton's still kind of having their way. But enough about the West. We're gonna take our commercial break, and when we come back, we will get into the East. We'll start with a little bit of a moratorium. And then we'll get into the rest of it. So stay tuned for that. You are listening to Hockey Talk here on Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, given you all of our playoff views, opinions, thoughts, analysis. I would be remiss if I didn't mention we got to pay the bills. You know, if you love what we're doing here, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, invest in a chair shot shirt. Happy to have all kinds of designs, only $19.99, or spend a few dollars more, get it soft style, your giblet. So thank you. Let's bury the Rangers. Or not bury the Rangers, bury the Caps.
Yeah, I'd like to bury
the Rangers. Are burying the Caps. Yeah. That's what's happening here. Oh, excuse me. I got choked up feeling so bad for your Capitals.
You should. Thank you. I appreciate
Dave, it. As we record here, it'll all be over soon. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh, it'll be over today.
Yes. My only challenge is, do I watch it on TBS, True TV, or Max? Like, which one?
If I was you, I would go watch something else that'll be more entertaining. Because this.
No, I want to watch. I want to watch Alex Ovechkin look slow for one more round. He's old. We've talked about this. He's old.
I know in the preview, I thought this would be a much better series. I thought it would go seven. I thought Alex Ovechkin would be a difference maker. He's been a difference maker, all right, for the wrong reasons. And the guys on, I forget which network I was watching, but some guys I was watching, I think they summed it up well, that the Caps used everything that they had left in the tank just to get to the playoffs, and they just look gassed. And it's not that they're not trying, because they are. And you can see them trying, and they're trying. And the Rangers, you got to give them credit. They play a very stingy sort of defense that you just can't get through. Their penalty kill has been astronomical. This is what's killed the Caps. Is it's one thing to go 0-for-6 on the power play and have the struggles that they've had, but you can't give up shorthanded goals. And they've given up two in consecutive games, and they both have been backbreakers. Like, they've been in both games until that happened, and then it's all over. And they just, yeah, the kids are trying. You know, LaPierre and Connor McMichael and those guys, they're doing everything they can. Ovechkin is slow. And I know he's probably banged up as well. And the Caps have no defensemen left. All their good defensemen are gone. You can't beat a team like the Rangers. And Peter Laviolette knows the Caps' weaknesses as well as anybody, because he coached them for he knows how to shut down Ovi. Yeah, I would love to say, oh, maybe they can win one and at least have that to save. No, it's not happening. The Rangers are, and Charlie Lindgren is doing what he can, but Shesterkin's out
doing what. Right, the Rangers are doing what you would expect a team to do against an opponent that won. Sorry, Dave. Clearly inferior.
Clearly.
And backed into the playoffs a little bit. Like, we celebrated it. We talked about how great it was. But even you acknowledge, like, the land of tiebreakers really had to break your way. And, yeah, they're out of gas because they had to make this push. You need to get younger, man. You need to get younger. And I love, like, Alex Ovechkin is a great story. TJ Oshie, I love TJ Oshie. These are older players. You know, they're pushing 40. They're not, and you can see it on the ice.
I'm just surprised we have not got the Wilson-Rempe fight yet. But I bet you it's coming today because of the hit Rempe put on Van Riemsdyk. They're going to throw down. You know, and that'll be worth the price of admission. But yeah, it ends today. The Rangers will get maybe a little bit of rest, but probably not much before they take on Carolina.
Right. All right. Well, let's. Every one of these series, by the way, one team has three wins.
Yeah.
As we go into this, and since you brought it up, let's head over to Carolina and the Islanders. How about this would be a better series than it is? The games haven't been bad. Carolina just always seems to come out on top. Yeah. You know, double overtime game on Saturday, which again, very dramatic. But
I kept the Islanders alive.
The Islanders finally survive and stave off elimination, but you're in that such a deep hole that it feels inevitable. It's when, not if, and you know, when could be as early as Monday.
I mean, they're going to Carolina. It's really, as far as arenas that are really hard to win in, I mean, that's as bad as it gets.
Oh, sorry. Early is Tuesday. They play on Tuesday.
Do they? They got that much. They gave them some extra time off. PNC is a
little travel day.
Tough place to win. The Islanders don't match up well. You can see it in this series. Another team that's trying, but it's a lot of these first round series are just matchups, and these teams don't match up so well. And the Islanders and Hurricanes are that type of it's been that way for a while. Yeah, I thought maybe the Islanders would give it more, but when they blew that 3-0 lead in game two, that was it. I mean, that was a series right there, because they would have been tied. They would have gone back to Long Island or you know, wherever they're playing at now, Long Island. And you would have been gone back tied, and that would have been different. But when they blew that three, when you give up two goals in 9 seconds like they did, I mean, what are you going to do, right? That's a series right there.
There's really not much you can do. And again, I feel like we'll be saying goodbye and heading to a Carolina Rangers series in round two. No,
that'll be
so. I want to go to Florida and Tampa Bay next. PC Tony's Tampa Bay Lightning. And Florida's up 3-1. However, Tampa Bay did win fairly decisively with the return of Mikhail Sergachev, who hasn't played since February 7th. And he had an assist. He was announced in the lineup right before the game began. Clearly boosted this team. Here's my question for you, Dave, because it has happened in the NHL. It's not impossible. Can Tampa Bay come all the way back and win all four games to take it in seven and make Tony happy that they get to the second round?
Absolutely not. They are not coming back.
Okay.
No, Florida's too good. And I've watched a bit of this series as well. Don't go to overtime against Florida because you're going to lose. That's 12 in a row that they've won in overtime. In the past, you could see in the Florida-Tampa matchup, the mystique of the Lightning intimidated the Panthers. That's gone. That is way gone. Florida is not intimidated by this team. They feel that they are the superior team. They've outplayed Tampa Bay. You talk about the Caps getting old. Tampa Bay is another team that's starting to show some signs of age, and you've been able to see it in this series in a few places. And yeah, I expected them to get one. I thought this would be a better series. I don't know if they've got what it takes to beat them in Miami or Sunrise or wherever you're at. I like Florida. They've looked really impressive, like a team that's really ready to take that next step, like as good as they were a year ago. And like we said in the preview show last week, they kind of snuck up on everybody last year with that stunning upset of Boston. We're well on the way to getting the rematch that I'm sure the Bruins want and Florida's ready for. But I think this team is a team that has taken another step forward this year. I don't see Vasilevsky's not been sharp. I don't think Bobrovsky's been. You see the save he made the other night. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I mean, Tampa's a really good team, but Florida's on a little bit of a different level than them right now. So no, I don't. I think this ends in game five.
I don't know. 1-6-3, and I don't know. I don't think it will either, because it's really, really hard to do. You just wonder where Tampa Bay would be if they'd had that guy to start the series as opposed to, you know, four games in.
It'd be 3-2.
Maybe it makes a difference. You don't know. But that's it. It could be a 2-2 series.
He's
absolutely
a good
be a
player,
series.
But I don't know if he's the difference maker that the folks in Tampa are making him out to be, but we'll see.
No, he will read that shit. That's what he did. All right, let's head to our last series where we wrap up the show.
Wait.
Death, Toronto Maple Leafs
Texas,
doing Toronto Maple Leafs things. Bruins handling their business. It's so funny. I have a student who works for me at UMass. She is a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and every time I walk in, I kind of give her this little like smile. She's like, "I don't want to talk about it, and we need to fire the coach." And that's all she wants to talk about. And Boston just looks better. They look dominant. Toronto does not look like the dangerous team I thought they were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, even more so right now. I think that the celebration is on come Tuesday at 7:00. You can watch the local broadcast, listen to the Nesson guys talk about it if you want. Otherwise, you can probably listen to Steve Levy wax poetic about them on ESPN.
Look, Brad Marchand turned this series around. That game three that he played, and I don't like
fuck
the guy.
That guy.
Yeah, I know. Fuck that guy, but you got to respect him. And
yeah,
he, and even like the Toronto coach had to tip his hat. Like he took the legs out from Bertuzzi, got no call for it. And the Toronto coach was like, I don't know, that's not a penalty, but Marchand, he's elite at doing that. And it's true. And he scored the game winning goal. I mean, game three was right there for Toronto to take. And Marchand made a tremendous shot in the top shelf to give them the lead.
It was a great shot.
He's got and I don't like him either. He's an antagonist. He's a pain in the ass, but that's what he's supposed to be. And he gets results, and you have to respect what he does. And he's another older guy, but he's still out there making differences. Boston, this two-headed monster that they have in goal, where they have, you know, Swayman in one game, Ullmark, and they've been alternating them. So from a opposing team standpoint, you don't, it's so hard to prepare for that because it's like, well, I know some of their tendencies, but from one game, I'm going to approach one game one way. Oh, I got to approach the next game the next way and go back and forth. That's really hard to do. And last year, Florida took advantage of the fact that Ullmark was injured and Jim Montgomery waited too long to put Swayman in. That is not going to be the case this year. He's been really balancing them well. Yeah, I don't, they just don't, Toronto just doesn't have it to beat Boston.
Well, and it's not, and I mean, and especially with the status of Austin Matthews now up in the air too, like he left the game. Yeah, you was, I mean, unless it's truly dire, I would assume he'll play.
Oh, he'll play.
But when you leave a game, you know, he's definitely not going to be 100%. So,
but I mean,
yeah, I think RIP Toronto Maple Leafs.
Think about
two weeks will be.
Think, I mean, yeah, we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, but think about those Eastern Conference second round series, man. Rangers Carolina is going to be one thing. Boston Florida, the rematch. Yeah, take money for that one.
Great second round matchups. Like this has all been theater for the second round. And I would say it's the same thing. I think we'll have a lot more clarity today as to how we feel about the Western Conference. I think you're going to see a lot of three to ones than you are 2-2s in the Western Conference after you know, Sunday slate heading into this week. I don't see it. I see Vancouver going up 3. I see Edmonton going up 3.
Vegas.
The only one that's really in doubt for me is Vegas and Dallas.
I think they.
Dallas just won on Vegas' ice.
Yeah. That's like
different.
Vegas. I like Vegas, man. I really like what I've seen.
You picked them. And well, I went against that.
Did you pick Dallas?
Yeah. But I didn't pick Dallas. I picked Vegas. Right. But I think of the teams that have played and you look at the matchups and how they've shown, like I think Dallas to win. Now you should have won a game on your home ice. That would have been nice. But you know, to beat Vegas in Vegas.
Well, okay.
You know, get out of overtime. You're guaranteed to go back to Dallas. And you can push that.
I'll play devil's advocate on your side of the fence. Cause I do agree with you. Home ice means nothing. Like the home teams came out and won the first six and then the road teams have dominated since then. I mean, it's just road team after road team after. So none of that stuff matters. What I've seen from Vegas and Dallas so far is another one of those where I'm thinking, okay, this might be a matchup problem. And we talked about it last week that Dallas has some problems with Vegas and with Mark Stone back and just the things that Vegas can do. And Ottinger has been good, but not great so far. And he has to be on top of his game. Like Shesterkin has been tremendous, except for a soft goal he gave up in game 3. He's been a big reason the Caps aren't doing shit. But I think, you know, if it holds form, you got what, Vegas, Colorado in the second round? I mean, what can you say? Vancouver, Edmonton. That's going to be fun, man. Vancouver, Edmonton could be interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. So, all right. And we'll be waiting and seeing in a couple of weeks because, again, Patrick Redoubt is bowling for dollars next week.
Bowling for charity,
we'll
right?
We'll see how it goes. Right?
A charitable contribution.
No, this is Patrick Redoubt's wallet. That's the charity.
Well, that's a worthy cause.
This is not a bowling for charity. This is a state tournament. This is, you know, everybody from all over the Massachusetts comes to Western Mass this year for this. So, but not for charity. Actual cash prizes, good stuff. So, okay, we are out of here. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where to find you on the socials and on the Chairshot Radio Network.
You can find me on X at AttitudeAgg. That is at AttitudeAgg or my burner account. Please get the Caps younger. That's the new account I got. Facebook.com/AttitudeOfAggression. Attitude of Aggression, all one word, at Instagram and Threads.
Excellent. And you can find me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me when I'm not bowling every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday, talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a plethora of others on Bandwagon Nerds. Tuesdays, I'm talking hockey and soon to be talking music. Before you know it, Dave, musical chairs will be back. Can't wait for that. Season 4? Are we up to season 4?
It's season 4 now. It's amazing.
Man, wow. We're stuck together forever on this damn podcasting. It's you and me forever. And then, of course, I talk wrestling sporadically with one Greg DeMarco on the Greg DeMarco Show. So yeah, that'll do it for this week's edition for Hockey Talk. Enjoy all the playoff hockey out there. Hopefully some of these series tighten up a little bit, because nobody likes a book series. We want some drama. But we will be back in 2 weeks to talk everything conference semifinals, heading into conference finals. I can't wait for it, and you can't either. This has been Hockey Talk, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, here on the Chairshot.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.